It's live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
It is 11:06 and welcome back to the Elise Glink Show. We're here live on Sundays on News Talk WSB. Phone number 404-872-0750. If you want me to pick up the cost of the call, which I will happily then pass along to Pete Spriggs, my boss, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We are online all the time. My website, thinkglink.com. And I know you haven't been there recently because I know you haven't signed up for the free weekly newsletter. And you should do that because there is so much there, including a link to my latest video. We're now putting up all kinds of videos again at my YouTube channel. You haven't heard me talk about my YouTube channel in a while. Expert Real Estate Tips is the name of my YouTube channel. But Google is so smart that if you just go to YouTube and you try to type in my name, even if you mistype it, you will still get the Elise Glink channel, which is Expert Real Estate Tips. We're starting to put up these things called Real Estate Minutes, which are way cool. And the one that I put up a day and a half ago, or 2 days ago, is called Do Elections Affect Real Estate? So we posted a link to this over at our Active Rain channel for all of you realtors out there and mortgage lenders and other agents who participate in Active Rain. And we had like 43 comments instantly, almost instantly. So check it out. I've already tweeted the link, but if you just go to YouTube, it's the featured video right now, and it just says, Do Elections Affect Real Estate? And there I am against a blue background. We're going to be putting up a ton of these expert real estate tips in the form of Real Estate Minutes. We're also doing something cool called the Real Estate News Brief. More on that to come. But anyway, go to the YouTube channel, sign up. You'll be, if you subscribe, you'll get linked to all the latest videos that come out, which are way cool. And then, while you're at it, follow me on Twitter, because then I tweet out all this really cool stuff. At Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. All right, before we dig in this morning, I just want to shout out a happy birthday to our executive producer, Crystal, who answers your calls every week, except she's not today. It's Fred. So Fred is happily sitting in for Crystal so we can give her a day off for her birthday, but she's out there listening. Happy birthday, Crystal. All right, let's dig in because the election is 3 weeks away, and it is weighing heavily on my mind that we don't know who's going to get elected. There's a new poll out from the AJC this morning showing that for Georgia, voters who are most likely to vote, Mitt Romney's got the president, something like 51-43%. This is not a big surprise. Georgia is expected to be a red state when the voting is all said and done. But it's been really interesting over the last 2 weeks which way things are going. And the number one question that I get asked these days, number one question, I mean, you would think people be asking how to refinance their mortgages because mortgage interest rates are the lowest they've ever been. But no, that is not the question I get. The question I get is, what's going to happen if, name your candidate, gets elected president? That's the question. The answer is I don't think it matters who gets elected because nobody's got a quick fix. We are not done with the hard times. And despite all the good news out there, I firmly believe recession is coming. We have a bond bubble, not bundle, although it is bundled up, those bonds. We all know now how those bonds get bundled, but a bond bubble has been forming, and it is going to pop at some point in time. This isn't going to be, just like with real estate, do you remember 2004, 2005, 2006, I would say to you, there is no way that real estate can go up 10% a month forever. Even my poor math skills understand that you can't double forever. Eventually, you just get too big. And so we saw how that popped. The bond bubble that is out there, that is forming by these ridiculously low interest rates. I mean, this is being formed, and it's all tied together, right? Mortgage interest rates, lowest ever. The Fed pouring $80 billion a month into the bond market. It's just not normal. And so we're seeing a bond bubble form, and eventually it's going to pop. It's not that we're not going to have like, ooh, the air is getting, you know, leaked out of the bubble. I don't think that's going to happen. I was watching Sheila Bair talk about this. I think it was on Jon Stewart the other night. And she was talking about how she's got a new book out. So she's out on the circuit, right? And she's just talking about how the hard times aren't done. How the bond bubble is going to dramatically affect things. And so when I get this asked this question, what's going to happen if Obama gets reelected or Romney gets elected? Right? I know you want to be on the winning team. Everybody wants to vote for the winner. But the winner, the winning idea that I want you to vote for, I don't know who has it. Because I listen to both of them and I look at Congress, and Congress is so fractured that it seems to me nothing is going to get done. I mean, it just could, we'd inch along, slowly we're getting a little better, but we are so vulnerable to economic shock. And now we've got the fiscal cliff. So we're going to have the election November 6th, Tuesday, and then 6 weeks, 7 weeks later, we're going to hit the fiscal cliff. And it's real. And it's scary. And guess what? It isn't going to be the 1% or the 2% or the 5% at the top that's going to feel the brunt. It's going to be the rest of us. We're going to feel it. Because a million or 2 million people will probably lose their jobs right away. In fact, the government is telling, they think we're going to figure out a way to push this, kick this can down the road again, I guess. Or maybe they think it's going to somehow get resolved in Congress right after the election. And maybe Congress is going to get so scared they're really going to do something. I don't know. But there are companies that by law have to tell their employees there may be layoffs in 60 days. And there's a movement to say, don't do that just yet. Don't scare everybody unnecessarily. That's because when we make deep cuts, people lose their jobs. That's how it is. That's what we're really talking about. What you need to do, and this is going to sound completely counterintuitive, make sure you go and vote. I don't even really care who you vote for. I don't at all. I think there will be some people who vote for Romney and some people who vote for Obama and some people who are going to write in Mickey Mouse. But taking 15 minutes to go and vote, just cast a ballot, shows you think enough of the process, the privilege that we all have as Americans to take 15 minutes out of your day and go and vote. Because it isn't just the president you're voting for, it's the rest of the ballot, all the way down to the local level. And real change can happen on a very local level. School boards can make impact dramatic change. Park districts can impart dramatic change. Local municipality running governments, councilmen, mayors, all of that can affect dramatic change. So I want you to get out there and vote. Just take 10 or 15 minutes. I know you're busy. I know you want to be on the winning team. So do I. But voting is one of those things that makes us America. And I think it makes us strong, even when we vote in rascals like the ones we profiled in the book. Lying, well, I can't say that on the air. We have a new book out. I'll tweet the link to it. But you want to be heard. Because being heard and step, and I know it's just one vote, right? It's one vote plus a million others, and suddenly you've affected change in any direction. And it kind of goes back to what we talk about on the show every week, right? Being stuck and feeling like the one vote you have doesn't really matter, so why do anything with it? And you know what I say every week about being stuck? I say to everybody who calls in, and I say it when I talk about, you know, why you're not actually taking action. And what I say to you, it's so true. When you're stuck, any step in any direction means you get unstuck, right? And movement is better than stability, well, not stability, but movement is better than just staying firm because you're too scared to make a move, because you're scared you're going to make the wrong move. You have to take a step. You have to move forward. And with recession coming, you have to get ready. And by that I mean, as I talk to you about every week, I want you to think very carefully about what it is that you're doing. what you're paying down. Now, I know you're moving in the right direction on this because I had a conversation, and I'm going to have her on the air next week, Amy Cruz Cutts. She's the chief economist of Equifax, and I've known her for years. She used to be the deputy chief economist over at Freddie Mac. And Amy and I were chatting about some of the new numbers that she's seeing, which is so interesting. She's looking at numbers, and what she's seeing is that month in and month out, for the last year or two, you've been paying down your debt. You've been figuring out that if you just make the minimum payment on your credit card, it's going to be like 24 years till you pay that off. And so you're paying 10% more or 15%. You're finding it in your pocketbooks to dig in and deleverage, the fancy economic term for paying down your debt faster than you normally would. And it's so interesting how that changes the picture for credit card companies and mortgage lenders, things that they've assumed for decades, about how you're going to manage your money. All of that is being thrown out the window because you are taking steps in the right direction. You're preparing to get rid of your debt. Maybe you're listening and you're thinking to yourself, if a recession really comes and Lisa's really right and she's not just scaring the pants off me for no reason, which I would never do, I want to be ready. And so by holding off to buy a car, right? The average age of the car of a car in America right now is 11 years. It's the oldest it's ever been since they started keeping track. It's cheaper, far cheaper, to keep a new car for 10 years, sell it, and buy another new car and keep that for 10 years than to trade off your cars every 3 or 4 years. Even with the repair bills. And you figured that out. And so the average age of a car out there right now, 11 years. I asked Amy how old her car was, and she said until 6 months ago it was 11 and a half years old. My car is 10 years old. And Sam and I were just looking at it the other day going, well, it's still working, still running, the Honda minivan. And we had some problems early on with it. Bought the extended warranty. That paid off in big time. And now we're just kind of waiting. We're waiting, you know, to feel the urge like we absolutely have to get a new car. And until we absolutely feel like we have to get a new car, we're not buying a new car. Deleveraging debt, sticking that money into a savings account where it earns nothing, granted, it's not going to be the place that you make any money. What it is going to do for you is help you feel safe and secure. Because when the hard times come back, and they are coming, you're going to have a pot of money to draw on so that you don't have to worry about how you're going to make your mortgage payment. And you don't have to worry about how you're going to feed and clothe your kids. And you don't have to worry about how you're going to buy gas at 522 this week. Thank you very much in California, where I filled up my tank. You're not going to have to worry about how to pay that. And that makes all the difference. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glenk, here to answer your questions. Lines are wide open. 1-800-WSB-TALK. How can I help you make a smarter decision about your money today? That's what I want to do. 1-800-WSB-TALK. 404-872-0750. 20 minutes past the hour, we're going to let the phone lines fill up, and we'll come back and answer your questions next on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glenk Show, live on Sundays, 12 to 2, here on News Talk WSB. Glad you could join us here. 404-872-0750 is our number. We will get back to the phones in just a moment. Don't forget to check in online. We live tweet during the show. I'm at Glenk, at G-L-I-N-K. It's time for this week's Real Estate Insight with Rhonda Duffy of Duffy Realty of Atlanta. Rhonda, welcome back.
Thanks, Elise, and I want to say it's been a great show.
Well, thank you. So the pace of housing sales is really jumping. It's sort of surprising.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting. It's nice for people who have been trying to sell for a long time to be able get out from under. And buyers are getting great deals. And we saw that mortgage interest rates, you know, are still around these record 50-year lows. Is now the time for sellers who have been waiting on the sidelines to jump in?
I absolutely believe that this is one of the rarest opportunities that we've had in a long time for sellers, because whereas they're thinking about jumping in, maybe others are too, you know, shy to jump in. So they have less competition, more anxious buyers. Buyers are starting to sense that it's turning. This is the perfect storm. They need to take action.
So I'm just thinking, if I'm a seller and it's October, and November is right around the corner. Heck, in our office, we just put the December calendar up. Is, you know, we're getting to that end of the year. I know things are going to slow down some. Do you think it's still worthwhile, or should everybody wait till January?
Look, here's the deal. Everybody in any industry other than retail takes time off during these cyclical seasons, if you will. So you've got traveling that's happening during November, you've got traveling that's happening during December, and people have time off. This is when they start to look. And it's amazing to me how many agents say, oh, nothing happens. Things happen, and you need to take action. Absolutely, if you have the desire to put your house on the market, this is your best opportunity to shine in a market that has very little competition.
Well, I bet you've got some tips that you can put on your website for some ways to consider all of these different things. You're going to put up a blog post today?
Yes, I am. You can find that at rhondaduffy.com, and you can find anything that we talk about at rhondaduffy.com. So it's just a plethora of information.
Well, that sounds great. Real Estate Insight is brought to you by Duffy Realty of Atlanta. Rhonda, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you then.
All right. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We will be right back to answer more of your questions next on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
I can't find a reason.
It's 11:36 on News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for joining us today. I hope you're following me on Twitter, because I'm having a very interesting conversation with one of our listeners all the way in the UK. And he said that even though I felt bad by paying $5.22 a gallon for gas in California this week, that I shouldn't feel bad because in the UK prices are currently $10.22 a gallon. Yuck. So thank you very much, Ideal Marine, who is the guy who's been checking us out all the way from the UK. Thanks so much for that little piece of information. We're going to go to the phones now. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you've got a question or comment, happy to take those calls. Tim joins us on the line now from Marietta. Hey, Tim, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. What's going on?
I just wanted to ask you, you said there were hard times coming.
Yeah.
And you said that the bond bubble is going to pop. I don't know a lot about that, but what does that mean for me, the regular people, and also a small business owner like myself? What do I need to get ready for?
Thank you. It's a great question. So what I mean by the bond bubble is we have been artificially deflating or inflating the price of bonds. And when we do that, the price of bonds and the yields moves in opposite directions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the yield goes up as the price goes down. And so the Federal Reserve is pumping $85 billion into the bond market, and they're yanking money out of equity funds. And so what they're doing, that helps to push down mortgage interest rates. What's going to happen is that what has happened is that bonds have soared in value. So in the last 3 years, for example, the Vanguard Total Bond Market Index Fund, which is something that I've recommended over the years, has returned 20% and nearly 40% over 5 years.
Mm.
It's pretty remarkable,
wow.
Don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It makes you think, wow, why didn't I pump more money into bonds?
Exactly.
But typically you only get, you know, 2 to 3% a year with your bonds.
Right.
Right? So going up 20% over 3 years or 40% over 5 years, like 8% a year, that's unsustainable. Just like with housing prices going way up. So what happens when the bond bubble bursts? Well, I don't know that we know exactly what's going to happen. That's always the threat. But I do know that mortgage that interest rates in general and mortgage interest rates specifically will go up. And the only way to avoid this would be to have a devaluation of our dollar. And that's probably not going to happen. It's only happened a couple of times in history, and it's been short-term. But you would need a much bigger devaluation. And so things could get very expensive, and you could have hyperinflation, and you could, and I don't know how it would play out. I don't know what the Fed is thinking in terms of how to unwind this. They keep saying, oh, we know how to unwind this, we know how to unwind this. But they didn't really know how to unwind the last one, and they didn't know how to unwind the housing crisis.
Right.
And it's been really painful. And look at, what are we, in our fifth year of the housing crisis? 6 years in some places?
Yeah.
And we're nowhere near the end of it. I know home prices have stabilized and everybody's feeling a little bit better, and that's great. But we're not near the end of it. So I guess my answer is I don't really know how it's going to play out, but I do think it's going to have a dramatic impact on the interest rates we pay. And as a small business owner, if you borrow money to make payroll, or if you borrow money to invest in your business, that could change the picture.
I was basically looking at if everybody else is hurting a little bit, they may buy our products less, and our sales would go down, and our revenue will go down.
No question. You'll get that. You'll get that.
Okay.
No question.
So
I want you to plan for it, because if you plan for it, that's going to make all the difference. Having the cash on hand, making sure you know what you're selling, and selling into a market that could go down as well as go up. You want to be able to plan for all of that. And if you can, you'll be wildly successful. Because remember, even in the worst recessions, people make money. Some people make a lot of money. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. Dave joins us on the line from Stone Mountain. Hi, Dave.
How's it going today?
It's good. How's it going with you?
Going good. I'm 24 years old. I bought a house about a year ago. And I'm debt-free other than the house.
Okay.
On everything. I have a stable job. But what I'm looking to do, I got a 30-year mortgage at 5%. And, you know, I'm a year into that. And I didn't think about it back then, but I'm looking into maybe refinancing to a 20-year, possibly even a 15-year mortgage. What are your suggestions on that?
So let's take a 30,000-foot view, and let me ask you why, when you were going through this a year ago and mortgage interest rates were not quite as low as they are today, but still pretty darn low, why didn't you ask this question?
Inexperience, I guess, is the only thing. I'm young.
You were 23. Really, and yeah, did you buy a foreclosure, by the way?
I did. I owe $92,000 on my house. And I know if I refinance, I'm probably going to have to pay closing costs again.
Yep.
But I think in the long run.
But wait, closing costs paid when you purchase, those are deductible in the year of purchase, or when you refinance, you should be able to write off the rest of those.
Okay.
So that's one thing to keep in mind.
Okay.
When you refinance, you won't be able to write off the closing costs in the year of purchase, but you will be able to take them in a percentage basis all the way through until the loan gets paid off.
Okay.
Unless they change that law. I don't think they have. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that you need to do some homework.
Okay.
Because I know that if you go out there, and you should not get a 20-year loan, because the 20-year loan is tied to the 30-year interest rate. You're not really going to save much money. You really want to push for a 15-year mortgage.
All right.
The 15-year mortgage ought to take you from 5% down to maybe 3.25%. Maybe even a little below 3%. So that's
okay.
Good.
But I've been talking to the bank that I have it through. If I go down to a 20-year, it drops it down to 3.5%, and if I go down to a 15, it takes me down to 3%.
So what are my rules for the home run refinance? Number one, lower the interest rate. So you're clearly going to do that.
Okay.
Number two, lower your payment. Are you going to do that?
I think I'm going to be owing more every month. Not exactly sure. I haven't gotten that deep into it yet.
Okay. There are calculators online that you should be playing with, even at my own website at thinklink.com. But I like the ones at emortgage.com. And there's a whole money, if you want to go to CNN Money, they've got good tools. Bankrate has good tools. You want to play around with this, because the four rules for the home run refinance are, and this is not to say you shouldn't do a refinance if you get two or three of these, lower the interest rate, lower the payment, and here's the most important one, shorten the loan term. And the last one is manage your closing costs.
All
so
right.
Lowering the interest rate, you got that one. There's no way, unless your credit stinks, that you're not going to be lowering your interest rate. Number two, you're going to want to lower your payment if possible. That's the one that's, because if you go to from a 30-year to a 15-year and you're going to tell me that you're going to save 14 years of payments, I don't really care that you lower the interest rate. That you lower your payment. I want it to be close to what you're paying.
Right.
Right? So that you don't put yourself in a financial bind.
Mm-hmm.
But shortening the loan term is going to save you maybe $100,000.
Exactly. That's my main goal. Even if it costs a little more every month, it's cutting at least 10 to 15 years off of the mortgage.
Yeah, I mean, it's $100,000 that you will save by getting this loan paid off that quickly. And frankly, you don't want to pay off this loan. Once you get a lock in a 3% loan, you don't want to pay that off. You just want to keep that for a long time. Now, one of the things I learned this week is that the best deals are going to people who have at least 20 or 25% equity in the property. Do you have equity in this property?
Not much yet. I've only been there for a year.
How much did you put down when you actually closed on it?
About $12,000.
Okay. So what was the price of the property? About $115,000? 114?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So you put down about 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't get the super, super low rate, but 3% on a 15-year is what you should shoot for. And then
okay.
You're going to start to build up equity lightning fast.
Okay.
Lightning fast. Because you're paying this off in 15 years, and that means it's like adding two or three or four extra payments each year right onto your mortgage amount.
Right, right.
So what's troubling you? Are you worried about anything?
No, that's pretty much it. You've answered all my questions that I had.
Just make a move, but I want you to shop it around.
Okay.
Don't just take your current lender's word for it.
Okay.
Compare the deal they're offering to three other lenders. I'd like you, who are you with now? Like one of the big banks? Tim? I'm sorry, Dave? Oh, we lost Dave. All right, so shopping around for a mortgage, I'm just going to finish this thought. Shopping around for the mortgage is the way that you get the best deal, because what you're going to do is make the bank compete for your money. You're making them compete for your business. That will always get you the very best deal. So if you're with a big bank, I want you to talk to another big bank. I want you to talk to a local credit union, a regional bank. Go online to bankrate.com and check out rates. Educate yourself. Learn how to do this the right way, so that when they talk to you in jargon, you know what they're talking about. You are going to speak that language, and you're going to feel confident that you know how to get the very best deal. Because until you know how to get the very best deal, you can't be sure that you have it. Right? You've got to really have that confidence. And I see it in so many other things. It's really tough, but you have to know where you're going. You have to see the end game. And if you do, then you're going to be able to get the four pillars, the four round the bases, right? four ways, four steps to get to the home run refinance. Lower the interest rate, lower the payment, if possible, that's the one I'll forgive on. Shorten the loan term, manage your closing costs. 404-872-0750. Edwina joins us on the line from Conyers. Hi, Edwina.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure, what's going on?
Well, I just received a check from my father's life insurance trust.
Okay.
And it's a large amount of money, and I'm not sure of the taxes I should pay on that and then how to invest it.
So, did your father pass away?
He did, yes, ma'am, about just over a year ago.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Has it been pretty tough without him?
Yeah. Yeah, it gets better every day, but I am so thankful that he thought ahead to do this for me.
You know, it's so interesting you say that, because I just had a conversation this week with some distant relatives of mine who are in their 70s, and they don't have a will, and they don't have a living will, and they don't have a living trust, and they don't have powers of attorney for health care and financial matters. And they said, what do you think we should do? And I said, plan your estate. I said, how much do you want your heirs to hate you on the other side? You're gone. You won't be forgotten. You won't be remembered in a good way. So your father did think enough of you and worried about you and planned out to make sure that this would all flow pretty well from your it sounds like his estate was pretty much in order.
Yes.
So the life insurance trust should have been considered part of his estate. And the estate should have paid any taxes that were owed, but it sounds like there probably weren't any that were owed. He died in 2012 or he died in 2011?
2011.
Who was the executor of the estate?
My stepmother.
Okay. So it should have been considered part of the estate, and the estate would have paid taxes if there were any to be owed. So you shouldn't have to worry about, now it could be set up in an odd way that I'm not familiar with because I'm not looking at your paperwork, but in general, that money should come to you tax-free.
Oh, okay, great.
Now, investing it is another matter because you want to do your father proud. Can you hang on just a moment? We have to take a quick break for weather and traffic, and I want to come back and talk to you about investing this money with intention.
Sure.
All right. Stand by. Okay. I'm Elyse Glink. You're listening to The Elyse Glink Show on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
56 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750 on the Elyse Glink Show. Thanks for joining us this Sunday morning. We've been chatting with Edwina, who inherited some money, a significant amount of money, from her late father's life insurance trust. And Edwina, what I wanted to say to you is when someone we love passes away and they leave us something behind, our first instinct is to hold on to it and not do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And do you feel worried or scared that you're going to make the wrong move with this money?
Oh, of course, yes.
It's got to be, I mean, I don't know if it keeps you up at night, but it's got to be weighing heavily on your mind. Because that's how we feel. It's like this is what was left to us, and you don't want to waste a precious cent because it dishonors the memory.
Right.
And when you get into that place, you get stuck and you don't do anything because it's easier to just let the money sit there and drain away than to actually take an active step. That might be a mistake where you might lose money. I don't want you to dishonor your father's memory, but he took so much care in planning his estate that I know he would want you to take the same care and invest with intention. Meaning that you do the homework you need to, you find the professionals you need to, so that you invest this money to honor his memory. I know you'll have to go through a process of figuring out what you want to do and long-term goals and short-term goals, and you're going to have to go interview some fee-only financial planners, preferably somebody by the hour like a Garrett Planning Network. But I want you to take time, do the homework, and think very carefully about what he would want you to do with this money. Maybe it's your future. Maybe it's college tuitions for your kids. Maybe it's making your life a little easier or more fun today. What his intention was to pass this money down is how I want you to take that gift and invest going forward. That's how you honor his memory, and that's how you make this gift a lasting tribute. 58 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glenk. I'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
It's live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glenk is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Hey, 12:06. Lunchtime. It's so funny to be on an hour early, isn't it, this week? We're going back to the old time or the old football time next week. So thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Elise Glenk. This is the Elise Glenk Show. And we're live on Sundays, 11 to 1 today, but normally 12 to 2 until football is over. Here on News Talk WSB, the number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time. It's true. Think Glink.com, THINKGLINK.com. And we have really, really cool stuff that we are planning for Think Glink in the new year. So tune in for that. We've got some new ideas for some live events. We're going to try and get those set up for maybe in February. Very, very excited about those. There is so much happening in the Think Glink community. Check out what we're doing on my YouTube channel. We've started to put up some new videos. Expert Real Estate Tips is my handle. We have over 3,200 subscribers to the channel with 3.1 million video views. We have some incredible videos up there, and millions of people have watched them. This new series is called The Real Estate Minute. So it just takes a minute, well, a minute and 8 seconds, if you include the in and the out. But the one that we put up the other day is, Do Elections Affect Real Estate? And it is causing quite the stir, both on Twitter and on the YouTube channel. And you can check it out at youtube.com/expertrealestatetips, or just type my name in. Go to YouTube and type in my name. Even if you misspell it, it will pop up, which is kind of cool. We're also doing all kinds of cool stuff over at the Equifax finance blog. And my thanks to everybody who entered our video competition. This week, we are going to start posting some of the finalist videos. And if you are one of them, you should go there and vote on them. So you can just go to Equifax, blog.equifax.com, or go to the Equifax.com site and click on Finance Blog. And it's going to take you to the homepage where we're going to talk about voting. And there's big stuff happening on the blog as well. Really cool information. Home, credit, insurance, tax, retirement, real estate, and, of course, family money. Family money. Story this week on the basic principles of emergency preparedness. How you get ready for a natural disaster, or, as I've been talking about today, recession is coming. How do you get ready for that? What do you do over at the Equifax Finance blog? 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. We've got some lines open. I'm going to go to those right now. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter. I've been tweeting a lot during today's show. At Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Janet joins us on the line from Dunwoody. Hi, Janet.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm wondering, some months I have a little extra money, maybe, you know, $200, $300, $400, $500, mm-hmm. and I would like to make, you know, in addition to my regular mortgage payment every month, I would like to send in that money separately and make sure it goes, that it's applied to my principal rather than the next month's payment.
So,
because I've heard that sometimes that can happen. How do I make sure that that money gets applied directly to the principal and not, you know, so that they're not just charging me interest on that, too?
Well, let's take a step back and let me ask you why you want to do that, make these odd payments. Because the payments that tend to get lost or misapplied are the ones that are randomly thrown into the mix. So tell me what you're trying to do in the bigger picture.
Well, just pay down my mortgage. So I'm just shorten the length of the loan, as you're talking about. You have a shorter length of loan. I have a 30-year loan, and it's at 3.9, so I'm not going to refinance. But at the same time, you know, I would still like to. I wasn't able to do a 15-year. I just couldn't make it work for my regular monthly income.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I'd still like to be able to pay it off faster, as if, you know, sometimes I was paying it.
No, I totally get paying it off, and that's good. Every time you make a prepayment, you're effectively earning 3.9%, which is what your net interest rate is.
Right.
What? Tell me a little bit about your plans for emergency funds, disasters. Like, tell me about your cash situation.
I'm in pretty good shape as far as having money just sitting around.
Okay.
I don't want to take that money and because I'm not working steadily, I'm freelancing right now while I'm looking for a little job. So I don't really want to take that money and, you know, throw it into my mortgage. You know, I'm not going to pay off my house with it, but sometimes when I'm a little more flush with cash than others, I can do that. You know, I have a little extra money, and I think it'd be sure nice to be able to apply this to my, you know, just, you know, maybe I could have a 13th payment every year instead of 12.
So, great. A 13th payment will cut a 30-year loan down to about 22, 23 years.
Yeah, because I'm in my late 50s, so I, you know, I'd just like to be able to do that.
Well,
so when I do retire, I want that I could have my house ring clear rather than...
Yeah, it would be really nice not to have a payment. I mean, for cash flow situations, even if you intend to keep working, as I know I will have to my whole life... You want to make sure that you have some options available to you. And how much is your monthly mortgage payment, by the way?
About
$1,240.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be awfully nice to have an extra $1,240 in cash flow at some point in time during your retirement, particularly once you hit your 70s.
Right.
And some of your other money may have dried up. So, to your question, what would work the best?
What's the mechanics of the best way of doing it?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now. So it's not difficult, but you're going to have to double check and make sure it's done correctly.
Okay.
I want you to take do you pay electronically or with a check?
I have they draft it out of my account every month.
Okay.
Electronically.
Do you get a coupon?
No.
When they draft it, do they ever send you anything that allows you to see how much they're taking?
No, but I check it every month.
Okay. When they draft it, just the way that they do, and you probably got a little bit of an interest rate break for letting them do that,
right.
It does not allow you to actually make an extra payment.
Oh.
So, because they're taking it out automatically.
Mm-hmm.
So unless there's a place in the process for you to say, check off a box that says take an extra $400 this month, they're not going to know how to do that.
Right. But could I send that to them?
You can. So there's two things. First, you have to call them and ask. And you may want to call two or three times because my sense is you might get two or three different answers, which would be a bad thing. So you're going to want to call and ask. The second thing is there may be a way in your account. Do you have an electronic account with them?
Yes.
That you can log in and direct them to take an extra $400 out this month. Now,
okay.
Be careful.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Be careful, because you don't want to trip it into taking it out every month at that
month.
The other thing you may be able to do is download some sort of piece of paper that's a coupon from your electronic account, and then you can write a check and say, apply to principal balance only.
Okay.
You write it on the check and on the coupon.
Okay, great. So basically, that's the legwork I need to do to figure out what's the best way to deal with this lender.
Right. But the thing is, and here's the big warning.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the red flag. You have to check to make sure it was done right immediately after making the payment. So give them a week to have it applied. And then you want to call and ask them to look in your account and make sure it was applied correctly.
Okay.
Keep a copy of the check and a copy of the coupon if you end up doing it that way.
Okay.
Or do a screenshot, if you know how to do that on your computer.
I do.
Great. Do a screenshot of what you clicked off.
Okay.
And how much you directed so that you have some sort of a paper trail in case they mess up.
Okay. Because they're I will do that. Okay, great.
I'm just saying, we've now watched for 5 years mortgage companies mess up time and time again.
Sure do.
And if you're that person, if your numbers come up,
it's your mess.
I want to make sure you've got a way to clean it up.
Right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling the show. It's 12:16 on the Elise Glink Show. Our number 404-872-0750. I know we're on an hour early today, folks. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Lines are open. Happy to take your questions. Fred joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Fred.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
I'm having a good time. What about you?
I was just trying to do a follow-up with the fella that called earlier. I'm in the process of trying to buy a house. And
are you a first-time buyer?
Yeah, and I talked to an initial with the person loan.
You talked to the loan officer?
Yeah, yeah. I've just spoken to one who was involved with the property that that I was looking at, and to pre-qualify. And I was just curious: should I try to pre-qualify with a different bunch of people, or just deal with one person? In terms of pre-qualifying, because she wanted this information, and I didn't want to necessarily give all my information out to a bunch of different people.
So, Fred, I have to say I'm a little worried about you. So let me just tell you, I'm a little worried. I have worked with thousands of first-time buyers. I've written 2 books specifically for first-time buyers.
Okay.
Have you read them?
No.
Have you read my books? Have you read any book on buying a house?
Yeah. But like I said, this is like I said, I'm really ready to make the plunge, and like I said, I think I was just reading them just for general information.
But Fred, take a breath. What I'm saying to you is, I'm not sure you've got enough information to make this big move yet.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you're out there, and this is an emotional play, and you want to jump in because it's time now. You feel ready, but you're not sharing with me any information that makes me understand that you're really ready to buy this house. Because if you said you've talked to one loan officer and you're afraid to give other loan officers your information, that tells me that you're missing a big piece of the puzzle here. Because loan information requires you to divulge personal information. And if you're afraid to talk to people, that tells me that you're not talking to the right people. You don't know who to talk to. They would be trustworthy.
Like I said, I'm just in general listening to things. There was a lot of loan fraud, people, identity theft, and so that's why I got.
But you're doing the calling. Who are you calling?
Oh, no. Like I said, the one person she provided, she said I had to provide certain documents and this, that, and the other thing, but before I took the next step.
What documents did she ask for?
W-2s, pay stubs, the whole nine.
Well, that's realistic. That's what they need to figure out if you're actually eligible to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
They need that.
Should I do that with 3 different lenders?
Should probably do it with 5 different lenders.
Okay.
Lenders that you call and you have identified as being trustworthy.
Okay.
And you need to pre-qualify those lenders and understand who you're talking to. Because if you just go around to the neighborhood mortgage broker, that person might be a scam. They may ask you for this right information, but they may be a scam. But if you call Bank of America or Chase or BB&T or a Delta Credit Union, those are not scam places.
Okay.
Those are legitimate lenders that you could, Wells Fargo. I mean, these are names we talk about on the show every single week.
Yeah.
They're trustworthy. But you have to get your information together, and you have to understand enough about the process so you don't get screwed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like I said, that's what I was just calling. I was just dealing with the properties. That was the first place I went to the.
Right, but I want you to understand enough about this process, Fred, that you know that you have to go to 4 or 5 different lenders. And you understand when they ask you, do you want a 15-year or 30-year fixed, you understand what they're really asking you and what the cost differential is going to be. I want you to understand enough so that you know what you can buy, what you can put down, what your options are. I think you should go out and buy my book, 100 Questions Every First-Time Homebuyer Should Ask, and then the other one that I wrote, Buy, Close, Move In, which talks about buying in the middle of this housing crisis and how you can take advantage of it. I don't think you really understand enough. And I'm scared that if you go out there and just sort of willy-nilly decide it's time to buy a house, you're going to make a move and it's going to cost you tens of thousands of dollars. Because when you don't know what you're doing, that is when you are your most vulnerable. And that scares me. I don't want any of my listeners going out there and buying property when they don't understand what's really happening. It is too darn scary. So I want you to take the time to really learn it and understand it and go out with confidence so you are investing with information that's going to help you get to the right place. You're investing with intention. We just talked about it with Edwina. I want you to do the same. When it comes to buying a house, you must understand all of the details. You can't gloss over. You have to read the fine print. That's how you make a great deal. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. 1-800-WSB-TALK. We've got a prize pack coming up. Stay tuned for more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
It's 1226, time for our WSB McDonald's weekend prize pack. There's a prize value with $384. This is a really good one, folks. It includes a pair of tickets to the PowerShare Series Champions Shootout featuring John McEnroe and other tennis legends November 10th at the Gwinnett Arena, a synthetic oil change courtesy of Braxton Automotive, and a $25 gift certificate to the Lakewood 400 Antique Market happening October 19th through the 21st in Cumming. $384, and we're going to give it away to the fifth caller at 404-741-0750. Good luck. Be nice to Fred. He's going to be taking your calls, and we'll tell you who wins. 27 minutes past the hour, we are going to take more of your calls in just a moment. The number for asking questions and getting real estate and personal finance answers from me, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Be sure to follow me online at Twitter, where I'm tweeting out all the latest and greatest, at Glink, at GLINK. All right, thanks for listening. Stay tuned. We got another half hour of your questions coming up next. And remember, we're on a little bit earlier today. That means we're out a little earlier. Only a half hour left of the show. Then Clark Howard follows. So stay tuned for that as well. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Blank. This is News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
All the time. 12:35, 35 past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. You're listening to the weekly show, but it's just a little bit earlier. So normally we're on 12 to 2 during football season. This week was a bye, no Georgia football, so we were on 11 to 1. We still have a few minutes left to answer your questions. 404-872-0750. Don't forget to check out online thinkglink.com. Follow me on Twitter at Glink, at GLINK, where a lot of the action is happening this morning, I have to say. A lot of exciting stuff on Twitter. And then also the Equifax Finance blog, where we are writing all kinds of cool stuff about how credit interacts with your money. So if you don't understand, or even if you do, we probably can teach you a few new things. Go to Equifax.com, click on the Finance blog, and that's where you're going to find us. 36 minutes past the hour. Let's go back to the phones. 404-872-0750 is our number. Mr. Cannon joins us on the line from Clarkston.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful.
What's going on today?
Well, I'm trying to purchase a home, first-time home buyer, and I have about $35,000 in cash. And I'm trying to, I guess, get the most house for the money. So I was wondering, is what type of deals or where should I go to maybe purchase a home for half of the asking price or something along those lines?
So you're asking questions that concern me as well. What is it with the first-time buyers today? You can't say, where can I buy a home for half off? Because every neighborhood has homes for half off in Atlanta. Well, almost every neighborhood. There are some homes that are on sale at 70% off what was from the high. Not from the listing price, because maybe the buyer's gotten some, the seller's gotten some religion. So they're pricing the home a lot closer to where it should have been. So when you say, I want a home for half off, do you want a home for half off the listing price, home for half off what it was listed at in 2007? Do you, you know, what is it that you're really saying? And so that leads me to the next conclusion is, what are you really looking for? Like, haven't you, the way that you need to do this is you need to identify neighborhood, values in the neighborhood, and what your money will really buy you, what you can afford to buy. If you're trying to buy something for $35,000 in cash, you could probably buy something today in Atlanta for $35,000 in cash. I have no idea if it's going to be the right house for you in the right neighborhood with the right future potential. I just know that there are homes for sale at $35,000. So what are you trying to really do?
Well, I think I'm trying to, I guess, get a home that's worth more than $35,000 for $35,000. Just trying to maximize my buying power.
Okay, and are you doing, where are you looking for a home? Are you working with an agent who's actually a specialist in foreclosures and short sales?
No, I'm not. I'm just looking on my own on Georgia MLS.
And, you're never going to find anything. You're not going to find what you're looking for. Because you don't even know what you're looking for. You need, have you read any of my books?
No, I haven't.
You need to go, it's just like with Fred. You don't have enough information to make a smart move yet. I think you can get there because you sound like a smart guy. But you have to understand what the process is and how it works. You're not going to reinvent the wheel. You are up against so much competition for a $35,000 house. 23 or 24% of all home sales are going to investors right now. They are coming in and scooping up properties all in cash, $35,000, $40,000, $50,000. You're in competition with them. Then you're also in competition with all the first-time home buyers who have woken up and said, oh my goodness, mortgage interest rates are at an all-time low. I should get out and buy a house. You're in competition with them. And you haven't decided what neighborhood you want to be at. You haven't gotten pre-qualified for a mortgage, so you've decided your limit is going to be paying the $35,000 in cash, although there will be other expenses that might get added on to that, which you haven't prepared for. So I can tell you're not really there yet. The intention is good, but the information is not.
So, okay, so once I read your books, then I have a better foundation on which way to go?
You will, because the first thing it's going to tell you is you've got to find the right agent to help you do this. If you want to buy an FHA foreclosure, a HUD home, HUDHomestore.com, you'll see lots of great deals, but you can't actually buy that home on your own. You need an agent who's HUD certified. So you can look all you like, but when it comes time making an offer, it's not going to let you do it. So then you're going to be like, well, how do I find the right agent? You've got to find the agent first. You have to put your home buying team together, and you have to look deep inside yourself as to what's important to you, where you want to live, or where you want to invest. If this is money you're trying to invest, right, as a real estate investment, I've written 5 e-books that you can buy for $2.99 on Amazon that will give you 150-plus pages of information on how to make a good investment. And one of the top things that you have to do, put together your home buying team. And that includes a real estate agent of some ilk who really specializes in the neighborhood that you want, foreclosures and short sales, if that's what you're looking for, which I can tell that you are, for $35,000. A mortgage lender, because it's likely you'll find the right house, but it might cost you $50,000 or $100,000. So you've got your $35,000 in cash, and now you're going to get a loan for the rest. That opens up a whole world of property in Atlanta. You're going to need a home inspector, because you're going to need somebody who can help you get in there and understand what is right and wrong with that property. And probably you'll need a contractor down the line to help fix it up. Because homes that are going for $35,000 in cash are rarely in perfect condition. But you haven't even begun that step. And I need you to do that. I need you to educate yourself. So my books are a good start. My ebooks are a great start, and the best value out there at $2.99 on Amazon, right?
Okay,
but you have to understand what that process really looks like so you don't go and make a $35,000 or $40,000 mistake. Because how long did it take you to save that money in cash?
Years.
And you're going to, if you aren't educated, you could blow years of saving money in about a day and a half. So let's see. Let's weigh these two things. You've taken 10 years to save $35,000 in cash, and you're just going to blow it because you're trying to get some sort of deal, and you don't even know what deal and neighborhood, and you don't have anybody to help you along the way because you're just going to do it yourself. I'm scared for you, just like I was scared for Fred. I wouldn't buy property this way, and you shouldn't buy property this way. So go educate yourself. Go read some books. Go start meeting people, putting together your home buying team, and then figure out where you want to buy this property and go for it. 404-872-0750. It's 43 minutes past the hour. Larry joins us on the line from Marietta. Hey, Larry, what's going on in your world?
Well, I was trying to get some information on the best way to advise my son. He is currently in the Navy stationed in California.
Mm-hmm.
All of the family lives here on the East Coast, so I know whenever he gets ready to get out in about another 6 years, he's going to be looking to buy something over here, but he's not ready to buy yet. And I heard you talking about if the bond bubble bursts, that the interest rates are going to go up. Is there any way to advise him to try and take advantage of the low interest rates now, even though he's not ready to buy it this time, maybe a home equity line of credit or something?
You can't take out a home equity line of credit if you don't have a home to take that out against.
Okay. Is there any way for him to lock in or to take advantage of the current low interest rates?
The only way I know is for him to buy an investment property near you or one of his cousins or aunts or uncles who would help him manage that property as an investment until he's ready to move into it. There's no way that I know of. I guess he could short the bond market. In 6 years, I'm sure this bubble is going to burst. I don't know when, if he shorts the bond market, but he might miss out on that. So unfortunately, this isn't something that you can plan 6 years out.
Right.
So what about you? What about you working with him and buying a piece of property that you rent out?
That was one of the other things I had thought about, but I'm going to have to talk to him about that more, see how he feels.
All right. Well, managing rental property is not the easiest thing to do. You know, I got to tell you, my husband Sam, who's a real estate attorney, can't stand it. He hates being a landlord. I mean, you would think he's the perfect person to be a landlord, but he just isn't, and not everybody is. So you guys have to figure out that that's something you're going to make this long-term investment and that you have the cash to do it, you have the interest, you're going to invest with intention and figure out where you want to be. And then you can go ahead and do it. But here's the truth about investing. Nobody can take advantage of every opportunity. Sometimes you recognize opportunities, but they're not right for you. So you feel a little sad that you're smart enough to recognize the opportunity, right? You're that smart, but it's not right for you. So I know he recognizes mortgage interest rates are at a record low. I can tell you they won't be here at this place in 6 years. We would have to be in a worldwide depression for mortgage interest rates to be where they are today in 6 years. It's just not going to happen. They might be only up a point. Maybe they'll be, instead of at 3%, they'll be at 4.5% or 5%. That's totally doable and still a historic low. But if you're not ready to step out and buy something today, then, or even next year, you can plan for this for a year out, then you can't take advantage of it.
Hey, so the problem is we don't know if they're going to let him reenlist or not. He's got one more term in order to get his retirement. And the way they're trying to cut back on the military right now is to force the senior enlisted personnel out to where they don't have to pay them their pension.
That's great. You know, I love hearing how we're going to save money, and that yet the focus still has to be on a strong, you know, armed forces, and the most experienced people are the ones we're trying to get out so we don't have to pay them a pension.
Right.
Doesn't that seem like a huge disconnect to you? Because for me, for my money, I would rather have your son, with his seniority and his knowledge and experience, be out there defending me.
Right. He's on his fourth reenlistment term right now. He's got one more to go before in order to reach his retirement, and they're not sure if they're going to let him re-enlist or not.
Wow. Well, he's got some planning to do, because figuring out what he's going to do if he doesn't get that pension is going to be a big deal. Figuring out, even if he does get it and he comes out of the service in 6 years, what he's going to do is going to be a big deal. And so his decisions have got to be long term, right? And the bigger issue right now is, what do I do if I don't get the 6 more years? It's really not about taking advantage of these mortgage interest rates, is it? His big issue is, because I'm sure he can move home with you while he finds a place to live, but he needs to understand what his future is going to look like. And that's a lot bigger discussion than, should I buy a house because mortgage interest rates are at an all-time low? If he wants to be in the real estate investing business, you guys should buy my e-books for $2.99 at Amazon and at least understand what it would take to get into that business. And maybe that's what he's going to do when he's on his way out. But other than that, the real issue, the real question here is, how does he make it work if he becomes ineligible for a pension because they don't let him reenlist? And how is that going to affect what he's going to do for the rest of his life? And that, my friend, is a serious, serious conversation that has no easy answers. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. Larry, thank you so much for joining us. And God bless your son for being a part of the armed forces. And thank him for us for his service. 404-872-0750. It is 50 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Link. Be back in a flash with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Makes me wanna lose myself.
55 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. This is the Elise Glink Show. So next week we're back on 12 to 2 because there's football again. Today we end, unfortunately, at 1. I wish we could go on, but Clark Howard is next. So that's all good. 404-872-0750. Let's go to the phone. Carmen from Lilburn is on the phone. Carmen, welcome back to the show.
Hey there, Elise. Thanks for taking my call. How are you today?
I'm fine. So what are you thinking about today?
Yes, I just wanted to tell people out there, especially these buyers, that they are to, educate themselves in regards to buying properties. I'm a full-time real estate agent, and, we have seen so many investors from all over the world buying up these properties. And if you have, $30,000 to buy a property, and you think an agent is going to be driving you around town all month to make $800 or $700, it's just not going to work. I try to encourage buyers, educate yourself before buying. Whether or not they want to buy your book or somebody else's book, that's the most important thing, Elise, and I'm so glad you emphasized that today, that the buyers, they ought to educate themselves before trying to buy a property. A buying process is very, very important. And I've seen too many buyers have made mistakes. Too many buyers think that they're going to go out there and buy a property that is worth $1 million. They're going to buy it for $70. It's just not going to work, especially when we have so many investors from all over the world. I've seen bank statements for $10 million, $5 million, and this is from all over the world.
And it's funny to think that there are investors from all over the world who want to come to little old Atlanta and start buying up property, because you think about that happening in Miami or San Francisco or Los Angeles or New York or Boston, you know, coastal but communities. But now they've actually moved into Atlanta as well.
They are taking up residence.
Yeah. Well, it's cheap to live in Atlanta compared to Hong Kong.
Yes, finding themselves a good agent and working with. And, you know, and the agent has a family, too. And we have to support our family. So, you know, why would we want to work with someone who wants to be driven around all month just to make a sale from a $30,000 property?
Right. So people don't understand, Carmen, how the numbers actually work. And they think, oh, $35,000 is a lot of money. But for the agent who might only collect 1 or 1.5% of that, it's like you say, about $700, $800, $900. It isn't a huge turnaround. And so it's not to devalue the amount that you can pay. That is what it is, and you can get a great deal. It's learn how to do it, understand the dynamics, the paradigm, answer the questions of where you want to live, go find an agent who can help you close that deal pretty darn quick. That's how it works today. Carmen, thank you so much for your call. It is 58 minutes past the hour, and you can hear the music, which means that we are out of time, I'm sorry to say. Follow me online at Twitter, at Glink. Go to my YouTube channel. Watch the videos. We're going to put up a bunch more of them this week. These real estate minutes, they are really cool. I love doing them, and we're going to keep doing it. And we want to talk to you, so go to thinklink.com and sign up for the free weekly newsletter. We're at Amazon. We're all over the place. Tune in. Tap in to the ThinkLink community. Have a great week, everybody. Be back next week at noon. Clark Howard is next.